Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is the podcast page that is at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. All right, the best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or many, many others, you will get notifications like the episode you are currently listening to becomes available. All right, guys, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, all right? New month, new beginnings, new blessings. Hope everybody is well. All right, I want to keep this pod short, but I want to talk about some stuff. So we're winding down towards the end of the season, right? And again, as soon as the season ends, the next day I'll have the NBA Awards show. Now, it's getting pretty close here, and I kind of see some things, but I don't want to get into those too much. But let's start first by talking about tonight's games. All right, I'll do a little order of service real quick. We'll talk about tonight's games. I'll talk about last night and Joel Embiid's returns, how he looked, and our outlook for my Sixers. And I'll talk about the NBA standings because things are getting tight. All right. All right, so listen, right now, tonight, we have the Trailblazers and the Hornets. The Hornets are home, and we have the Trailblazers are expected to, the Hornets are expected to win. I kind of like the Trailblazers, y'all. Lakers and Wizards. Lakers and Wizards. The Lakers should easily beat the Wizards. Pistons and Hawks. If Jalen Duran was playing, I think he's not going to play because he had a tooth injury. And I don't think he's going to play. I'm definitely going to take the Hawks. Thunder and Celtics, no SGA, no way, no how. Celtics by a mile. Hopefully. Sometimes the Celtics play better in the competition. Pacers and Nets, definitely like the Pacers here. Nets stink. Grizzlies and Bucks. I'm going to go Grizzlies. Raptors and Timberwolves. Ew, these are ugly games tonight. Raptors and Timberwolves. Let's go with the Timberwolves. Magic and Pelicans. This probably be the best game on tonight. Magic and Pelicans. All right. I'm going to go with the Pelicans bounce back after getting embarrassed by the Phoenix Suns. All right. Cavaliers and Suns. Donovan Mitchell comes back and he is expected to play. I'm going to take an upset. I'm going to take the Cavs to win. All right. So let's get into last night. All right. So as you know, he is back. Joel Embiid has returned. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Your boy, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I was hype. I ain't gonna lie. The Sixers are borderline unwatchable. And if you know anything about Philly sports, listen, you got the Eagles, the Sixers, and the Phillies. The Phillies is meh right now. The Eagles are they're okay. But the Sixers probably have the best player and the closest chance to win a championship out of all teams because they got the best player. All right, they got one of the best players in the NBA, and he returns. His name is Joel Hans Embiid. All right. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The only thing I cared about watching that game is his foot movement. I don't care how fast he looked. I just cared that he wasn't wincing. And he didn't look like he was pain-free. He ran. He didn't look like he was laboring. He didn't look like he was leaning on his, you know, trying to avoid putting pressure in that foot. Again, he looked slow, obviously, and I didn't care about that. And he definitely was gassed a few times, but I don't care about any of that stuff. All that stuff can improve. Again, the only thing, he didn't look like he was laboring, and his movement was solid, all right? Played 29 minutes, 24 points, which is still ridiculous. 12 out of 12 from the free throw line, 6 out of 14 from the field goal, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Did have 6 turnovers. Got to clean that up, Joel. But, hey, man, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The mid-range shot was working. The post shot, obviously drawing a ton of fouls. Got a really big steal at the end of the game, and we're back. I'm going to be honest with you. So the Sixers have had much better teams than this current Sixer team, right? I always go back to the year the Toronto Raptors won a championship. I think that's 2019. That was probably the best Sixer team talent-wise. You know, that was the Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, and Joel Embiid. That was probably our best like far as power and talent starting five. Now, I don't think this team is anywhere as better as that team, but I do think the dynamics that we offer are a little interesting. So hear me out. Cameron Payne has been good. All right. I know everybody loved Patrick Beverley and we like Patrick Beverley's podcast, but Patrick Beverley is an older role player And Cameron Payne does give the Sixers an offensive punch they needed. Also, he had 10 rebounds. It was absolutely ridiculous. Kyle Lowry, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Kyle Lowry is a smart player. All right, he's not going to give you a ton of scoring anymore, but what he can do is he can take charges, he can make passes, he can make decisions. The talent ain't what it used to be as far as how much he can impact the game as a scorer. But again, he's a really smart and efficient. He knows what to do. He is a veteran. And again, for as much as the Sixers have went for the athletic guy and the young guy, I'll take what we can get from Kyle Lowry. Listen, Nicholas Batum, right? And I want to all put these together with Embiid in a second. Nicholas Batum has probably been the funniest player ever because he was a really good young player in Portland. I thought he had a higher upset when he did. He wanted to be in a role player. But his post-entry passes, his decision-making and shot, he ain't washed, man. All right, he ain't washed, and he's really good with Embiid. Him and Kyle Lowry probably can have two of the biggest impacts, right? Now, like I said before, Embiid has played with a much talented team. And again, I don't think this team is all that talented, but I do think the way they can play can really make some noise, right? And again, we're back. There's about 7 games left. I'll talk about the standings in a second, but we here, man. Let's see what we can do. Tobias Harris, as much as I get on him, he played great. I asked Tobias Harris to do one thing, all right? Up your 3-point shots. He took 8 threes, hit 5 of them. I ain't got nothing bad to say. Kelly Oubre is going to playing for a much bigger contract this offseason. 4 out of 7 from the 3-point line. 25 points. I think he had a game high, I believe. Yes, he did. Kelly Oubre was top point scorer. Passing too. Even though, Kelly Oubre was a black hole as far as a passer at one point. He will make the swing pass. He's never going to be a guy diming him up. But again, making a necessary pass and passing to the open man is big for him. And he's really grown, man. And like I said, it's kind of tough because he's in a contract year. And, you know, guys usually perform well. But again, we needed him. We need his athleticism on the wings, which we have almost none of. And he's been a big help. Buddy Hield is the one guy that I would like kind of get elevated. I mean, he's in a bench role, only playing about 21 minutes per game. Listen, Buddy can play, and we need Buddy shooting with Embiid. We need them on the court together. They got to make that happen. So Nick Nurse's job as he integrates Joel Embiid back together with the Sixers is to find some of these pieces and make them work together. I don't know when Covington's coming back. Maxey should be back soon. He had a little bit of a hip issue. Yeah, that's pretty much it. As far as the other side for OKC, I'm going to say this, man. I will never forgive Doc Rivers, all right? Yo, Doc Rivers is a guy who doesn't believe in young players. He's over-obsessed with veterans. And when them veterans don't work out, he'll just get another washed veteran. And Isaiah Joe was a guy that everybody on the Sixers fans, everybody Sixer media, NBA media, it was like, yo, this guy can shoot if you give him minutes. And Doc would never give him minutes. Or when he did give him minutes, he would give him the biggest hook. And he gave us the – I was so happy to get scored on by Isaiah Joe. 4 out of 11 from the 3-point line. I mean, 11 shots make my heart jump, man. I'm just happy for him. Absolute sniper of a shooter. Whenever his contract goes up, he's going to get PAID. That's paid if you didn't know. Wow. I'm just happy, man. You know, even though he came off the bench in 28 minutes, he's good. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit, maybe 1 or 2 dribbles. Listen, I saw him do a dunk and finish pretty good at the rim, man. I think he has a higher upside than some people know, but that's on that. Who else played really well? Yo, Chet Holmgren is a lot better than I thought he would be his rookie year. I thought he would get tossed around his rookie year. After early in the season, I thought he made some adjustments. His jump shot is legit. His skill is legit. He's really gotten better at putting the ball on the floor. Early in the season, he would do the spin move, right? As soon as he turned, he'd lose the ball or somebody would strip it from him. He's gotten much better at reading when to do the spin move, how to finish off of it, and also how to pivot from the spin. So you got to give credit where credit is due, all right? Anybody else? And Josh Giddey also played well. Listen, Josh Giddey, the biggest thing is 3-point shot attempts, all right? You got to get him up. If you improve your jump shot, you improve your ceiling as a player because you're pretty limited as a scorer because you don't do a ton athletically, right? So we'll see what Josh Giddey does. All right, so with that being said, I want to talk about the NBA standings and where we are. So, you know what? Let's do it a little different. Let's do NBA power rankings. So ESPN did drop their NBA power rankings. I believe they dropped it this morning. Yep. And I'm going to try to run through these as quick as possible. So number one, they have the Boston Celtics. They have a record of 59-16. The next four games is OKC tonight, Sacramento the fifth, Portland the seventh, and Milwaukee the ninth. And that quote, Tim Bahamut says, there were a lot of reasons to believe that Boston's new starting look will have a successful season. It has been every bit as good and then some. The Celtics have really hoped for the grouping of Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis to play the six most minutes of any five-man lineup in the NBA, outscoring opponents by 12.6 per 100 possessions. So listen, I'm going to be honest. I thought one of the biggest gambles this season was the Celtics acquiring Kristaps Porzingis, right? And he has had his injuries, but again, if you can get him to play in the six most minutes, and it was a good trade because Robert Williams is hurt again, and that knee is not looking good. So this trade was a success, and only for that, Robert Williams had the same exact problem happen again and again. So off of that alone, number two, the Denver Nuggets are 53-23. And I quote, I'm going to read one sentence from this. The defending champs played their sixth consecutive game on Tuesday without Jamal Murray, who has been held out with a sprained left ankle and a swollen right knee. Michael Malone told reporters on Friday that he believes his star guard will be back on the floor before the postseason begins. They have four of the six remaining games are on the road starting Thursday versus the Clippers. Yo. So real quick on the Nuggets. I still believe they're going to win a championship. I believe they've kind of been playing possum a little bit. As long as Jamal Murray's injuries aren't too serious, which they don't appear to be, I think they're getting busy. And speaking of getting busy, let's go to that Spurs game real quick because, like I said, I don't want to take too much time on this. Yo, Wembanyama, man. I've been saying it for a while. It's only by next season he's going to have that quadruple-double. So, one, he makes a team that isn't good. Like, this Spurs team is not good. They got Trey Jones, Osman, Braham, Champagne. This team's not good. The only good players, they're all hurt, right? Devin Hassell is out for the season with a foot injury. Keldon Johnson is also injured. And this dude still puts up 23, 9 blocks, 8 assists, 15 rebounds. 2 out of 11 from the 3-point line, 9 out of 29. Yo, he's ridiculous, man. Like I said, next year, I don't know who is going to be against. It's obviously going to be against a team that's going to be played close and obviously somebody that's really talented that he can go back and forth at. But that quadruple-double is coming, man. It's absolutely coming, and the sky is the limit. Yo, I'm going to say this. I think he is the best prospect since the NBA, man. Yo, nobody else, dog. No, and again, they stink. Imagine if he was on OKC. Imagine if he was on Charlotte. Any other team that had somebody that was somewhat competent that can do things. Now, and as bad as they are, they're still 18-56, right? So, again, I got to give Wimby a big shout-out, man. Definitely the future of the league. Just please stay healthy, big fella, all right? I'm only going to do the top 10 of the NBA power rankings because I don't want to do all these teams, but I'm going to talk about most of them, but let's do a brief summary of them. All right, let's keep it going. I said number two, so let's run through number three. So coming in number three, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder, 52-23. So the biggest thing is getting SGA healthy. All right, Josh Giddey has played really good in his absence. He had a triple-double Tuesday night versus the New York Knicks. The Thunder are here, and they're good, all right? They're here, and they're good, and they're ready. They just got to get SGA healthy and get this run on, all right? Again, Giddey has been in the best groove of a season, averaging 22.8, 9 rebounds, and 7.8 assists with an effective field goal percentage of 72.2 in the past 5 games. That is ridiculous because he can't score, all right? Next, the Minnesota Timberwolves at 52. You know what? Let's scrap it. I don't want to talk about all 32 of these teams. I want to go to the NBA standings, and we'll do it from there. All right? So let's talk about the East. Again, number one, Boston is 59-16. Number two, Milwaukee is 47-28. Number three, Cleveland comes in at 46-30. Number four, Orlando is 44-31. Number five, the Knicks are 44-31, and the Pacers are 6, and they're the last team before the play-in team. So the Miami Heat are 7th at 42-31. The Sixers are 8th at 41-35. Chicago's 9th and the Hawks are 10th. Now, both of those teams are pretty much stuck there because I don't believe that Brooklyn is going to catch either Chicago or Atlanta, right? So the only movement that can really happen is anybody between 41 and 44. So I think 1, 2, 3, the Celtics, Milwaukee. Well, the Celtics got the number one seed ripped up. So Milwaukee and Cleveland are going to fight for the 2 seed. And Cleveland has a 3 seed pretty much by 2 games. But Orlando, New York, and Indiana, 4, 5, 6, and Philly and Miami being 2 games behind them, all that stuff is interchangeable. So every game matters. This is the time to lock it in, and all these games count, right? If we go over to the Western Conference, right, we have Denver at 52-23. Number 2, Minnesota at 52-23. So they're a game back. Oklahoma City falls to 3rd with the same record at 52-23. The Clippers are 4th at 47-28. Dallas is 5th at 45-30. New Orleans is 6th. They're the cutoff team at 45-30. All right, so then you got Sacramento at 44-31. You got Phoenix at 44-31 also. The Lakers are 43-33, and Golden State should hold that last spot off at 41-34. So real quick, I think the Nuggets are out of it. They are out of it. Houston is 38-37. And one game over 500, they're about 3 games back of Golden State, right? They have a little outside chance of making this play-in tournament. But pretty much, it's pretty much going to be the Lakers. And the Lakers could move up. Yo, these last games are going to be really crazy, man, because every game matters, man. Obviously, they all matter. But now, seeding is very important. It will be interesting to see if some of these teams do some cheating or if some of these teams kind of get up out of Dodge. You know, we'll see what happens, all right? So, here is my take. I believe that, oh, man, if SGA is injury and he sits out more games, I believe Minnesota gets the number 2 seed. And he can possibly get the 1 seed, man. I think Denver's going to try to push for every game, but it's going to be interesting, right? Because according to most people, that Nikola Jokic has the MVP, which I completely disagree with. And if he has the best record in the West, that probably solidifies it, right? Now, again, OKC is a half game back, and they have a chance to do it. Now, SGA is missing games. He's still eligible for all his awards. He'll still make first-team All-NBA. He'll still be, he's going to make a ton of money. But the MVP is the one that he can still get if he can kind of play these last 4 games. If they can kind of keep this 1 seed, man. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm excited, all right? So news and notes around the NBA. I'm going to wrap this up and get y'all out of here. All right. Jerry West is inducted into the Hall of Fame for a record 3rd time. So he's probably got in there as a elected for Hall of Fame as a contributor. I want to read this article because this is interesting. Real quick, Jerry West will be entering the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame for a record 3rd time with his latest election coming as a contributor to the game, sources tell Adrian Wojnarowski. West, 85 years old, was previously inducted as a Hall of Fame player in 1979 and on the Olympic team in 2010. The contributor election honors in his work as a general manager with the Lakers in Memphis, as well as a consultant with the Warriors and Clippers. While in those roles, West has won 8 championships, twice named Executive of the Year, 94-95, and 2003 with the Lakers and with the Grizzlies. West, who also won an NBA championship as a player, was famously credited for the architect of the Lakers in the 80s and early 90s during his 18 seasons as general manager, including a deal that brought Kobe Bryant to L.A. Before coming to the Clippers, West spent 6 years with the Warriors and helped them compose the rosters in 2015 and 2017. Also spent 5 years in Memphis rebuilding the franchise and his foundation. Also, I don't know if this is official, but there was always a rumor that he was the kind of one of the guys that was big on not trading Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. So back in the day, Kevin Love was at, well, y'all might notice, some of y'all might not. Kevin Love was putting up like 27-14, yo. He was a dog, and he's probably a better player at that time. But Curry and Thompson always had really good chemistry together, and it was really important that Jerry West wanted to keep these guys together. Again, I can't give him all the credit, but there was always a rumor, so I did want to point that out, the fact that he, you know, might have been one of the guys that's like, hey, we ain't doing that. All right? Rajon Rondo says, I am done as an NBA player. Wow, this is pretty cool. So Rondo officially retires from the NBA after 16 seasons, the 38 The 38-year-old point guard says, absolutely, I'm done. I can't. I'd rather spend time with my kids. Man, Rondo better make the Hall of Fame. You know, this is interesting because Rondo, to me, is a winner. The Celtics don't win without him. He's probably an underrated piece of these championship teams. And as the Celtics kind of age, he kind of low-key developed probably into the best player at one point. You know, even though they have far more, you know, guys with higher accolades, you know, Westbrook. Rondo was just, oh, man. And the funny thing about Rondo is I'm scared that we don't get these type of guys anymore. Like a pass-first point guard that can kind of just be aggressive, super long arms, you know, get into the paint. You know, quirky game, but really effective. Can rebound, defend, pass. Really, really good player, man. One of my favorites. Very a controversial player because if you don't love basketball, say, well, he can't shoot. As Rondo got older, he got much better at his shooting. So, and probably one of the best brilliant basketball minds in NBA history. LeBron, who won a championship with Rondo in 2020, called him a spectacular player after Tuesday night's game. One of the best players I ever played with. His IQ is out of this world, and I'm very lucky to team up with him to the point where I was in L.A. Just being a fierce competitive throughout my career when he was in Boston, obviously our battles we had when I was in Cleveland and then going to Miami. All right, so congratulations to Rajon Rondo, all right? That's pretty cool. News and notes. We're going to wrap it up, and we're going to get y'all out of here. Do I want to talk about that? Oh, here we go. Steve Clifford says he is stepping down as the head coach of the Hornets after this season. This is interesting. He's going to move into a front office role for the franchise. He is 62. He wasn't premiered to commit to the year-round grind after this season. He didn't want to hinder the franchise's ability to compete for the top available coaches. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I think he's burnt out. He is a defensive coach. They don't play any defense. I don't know if he ever felt connected to these guys. I don't know, man. I think Steve Clifford is a very good coach. He's a beautiful basketball mind. And I think, you know, obviously he's not getting fired. He's just moving to a different position. But I don't know. He probably could be tired of it. That's a lot to deal with that team. You know, LaMelo's injured pretty much for the last 2 years. You don't really get the team you needed. There's always drama. Michael Jordan retiring and kind of not retiring, leaving the franchise after many people said he was just a bad owner and didn't know what he was doing. So that probably plays a big role in Steve Clifford kind of getting up out of there. But again, congratulations to Steve Clifford and good luck with him in his next endeavors. All right. I'm going to wrap it up here. Yo, I want to keep this pod short. We got a lot to get to. I'm going to get to these games. Friday's pod will either be Friday or Saturday, but we will have another pod at the end of this week. Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. Hashtag KNOWYAROLEPLAYER podcast. I'll talk to y'all soon. Y'all be good. Peace.